fighting for America.
The risk of using this amendment as a sword rather than the shield that it has been designed or expected is too great.
Fighting for Idaho.
My heart has been touched by this hearing. And I know that from this point on, I will be kinder and I will be more compassionate to those who bear a heavy burden.
Fighting for you.
I move that House Bill 2 be held in committee.
Motion passes 13-4. I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Heidi ho, K. Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, Senator Risch. Before that, if you really want to get inside the minds of the folks in the committee, if you want an unbiased, objective view of the 3 or 4 days of testimony and then the big vote, and you missed our interview with Representative Brent Crane, I'd urge you to go to our website, 580kido.com, and check out the podcast of Representative Crane's objective view of the vote yesterday, 13-4. Very insightful. Joining us now, whether he's hosting an Intelligence Committee briefing or on national television or protecting the folks in Idaho, Senator Jim Risch with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
My favorite was you stepped out of a committee meeting 2 weeks ago to talk to us. We thank you for your time, and a lot going on. Most notably, the Bo Bergdahl situation seems to be blowing up, and you've been on this situation for quite some time.
Well, I don't know that it is blowing up. I know Fox News and one of the other networks reported, I think it was Monday, that he was about to be charged with a specific offense. And there was something that just wasn't right about it. I had staff go to, we've got fairly trusted sources, not fairly, very trusted sources within the Pentagon, and they said that simply wasn't true. And then the Pentagon went public with that later in the day and said that the state of play is this, that a investigation is always done. It has been done. It's been completed, and the materials have been turned over to the general that is in charge of the decision-making process within their justice system. And he makes a decision as to whether the person's to be charged, and if so, with what offense. That has not occurred, and he has not reached a decision and has really no timeline to do that. And so I don't know where that information came from, but as fast as it blew up, it seemed to went right back to bed again. The more important thing is yesterday I was, in fact, I was sitting on the set doing Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and across the crawler comes this indication from the Pentagon that one of the five people that were traded for Mr. Bergdahl was believed to be back in the battle again. And Blitzer asked me what I thought of that. And I said, well, this isn't coming as a shock to anyone. A lot of us predicted this was going to happen. The recidivism rate for the people that are released from Guantanamo is very high. And it's inconceivable to me that we went through all this effort and bloodshed, arresting, and or not arresting, but taking these people prisoner on the battlefield that were put into Guantanamo. Why would anybody want to let those people out again? That just doesn't make sense to me. And yet the president is insistent that he's going to close on Guantanamo. He made that promise during the campaign, but I thought that probably after he got elected and got some intelligence briefings and understood how bad these people were and the fact that they're a danger to America and that we did expend blood and treasure getting our hands on them, that he would change his mind. But he hasn't, and he's been letting them out. They're down to, I think, just slightly over 100 now. And these are these people are really, really bad people. I just don't get it, but, you know, what can you do?
Senator, you have such a unique insight. You've talked to us for years about bringing Bo Bergdahl home. You've met with folks in the military. You've talked to the family. You've talked to the administration. Your thoughts on, you have Senator Ayotte right now from New Hampshire yapping about it, other senators talking about the administration's deal. Your thoughts as an Idahoan who knows more about this than just about anybody, the whole situation involving Sergeant Bergdahl. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, we were all working to get to try to get Bergdahl home. We wanted him home. That's a good thing. There isn't anybody that disagrees with that. Whatever he did, he's an American. He's an American soldier. And if the Army sees fit, he's going to answer for whatever his actions were immediately when he left his post there. But trading these five people that were the leaders of the groups that they were involved in just was a really bad deal. I mean, this administration gets for whatever reason, every time they sit down at the bargaining table, America loses. They just give away and give away. Same thing's happening right now with the Iranian nuclear talks, and they're going to end. Well, maybe they'll end. He's extended them again and again. But if they do end this spring, it's going to be either with a bad deal or no deal at all. And the latter is substantially better than the former. And their negotiating skills leave a lot to be desired. And so I was as happy as everyone that Bergdahl was released back to the Army. Turning those five people loose for him was a really bad deal. And this is just the beginning. I mean, that they're talking about just one of those five. Those are not five people who sat in Guantanamo for 10 years thinking about what bad people they've become and how they're going to change their ways when they get out. When they get out, they're going to go right back to doing what they did before.
Senator Risch with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. And you've mentioned the administration's skills with the Iranian government. Of course, Pastor Saeed always at the forefront, along with the other Americans that are being held. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Well, I've been very vocal on that, both privately with the administration and when they come before one of our committees. And that is that, first of all, we were just astonished at how bad the deal was that they made in the first place, the temporary deal, which is an indication of what's going to happen with the final deal as far as the Iranians are concerned. But the one thing that just boggled my mind was the fact that at the very first agreement that they made, the temporary agreement, they released hundreds of millions of dollars of oil money that we had tied up and that the Iranians couldn't get their hand on. Now, this is a government that's cash-starved and was dying for money. Well, they released some sanctions, as you know, but they also released that money. And I asked Wendy Sherman, she's the chief negotiator, I said, Wendy, why don't you put your hand on that money on the table and say, look, we got a deal, everything's agreed to, but we aren't cutting loose of this money until you release the three Americans, including Pastor Saeed, that you're holding for religious reasons. And they would have jumped at that deal. I can't believe they wouldn't have jumped at that deal. They wanted that money so badly. I can't believe they wouldn't have cut those three people loose. And they had the opportunity to do it a second time when they renewed the time period that they were negotiating for. They released hundreds of millions more, and they just did not need to do that without getting these people out. But I really believe they were just been flat out negotiated.
Senator Wren,
I'll say this. I mean, there's an explanation for this. The administration wants this deal so badly. They talk about it here in D.C. as one of his legacies as this winds down over the next 716 days or whatever it is, that he's looking for a legacy, and this is one of the things he wants as a legacy. And they're willing to do most anything to get a deal, and that frightens us, should frighten the world.
Senator, you along with Congressman Simpson have looked at the Boulder White Clouds region. The president, I believe in a public report, has given Congress 6 months to make it happen in a wilderness bill, or he'll listen to folks here in Idaho that say it should be a national monument. We've never asked your perspective on this. Your thoughts?
Well, Kevin, this, when I was governor, I worked a settlement on the 2.9 million acres of roadless. And about the same time, Senator Crapo was working a settlement on the Owyhee Canyon lands. And about that same time, Representative Simpson was working on the Boulder-Whitecliff. And Mike was working hard. He did a good job of it. He had all the stakeholders together here in Idaho, came up with a good bill, and came back. And I was governor. I looked at that. I said, yeah, you know, I checked with the stakeholders. He said this was a good thing. I supported that. The bill came back here and went to the a committee I sit on now. In fact, I'm the third ranking member on the committee. It's Energy and Natural Resources, and that's where these bills go through. And they had a very it was in the hands of the Democrats at that time, and they had a very aggressive and liberal group of staffers who were very environmentally oriented. And they took Idaho's bill, Mike Simpson's bill, and they just decimated it with all kinds of stuff, taking stuff out and putting stuff in. And I withdrew my support. I said, I can't support this. This isn't what Idahoans agreed to when everybody agreed to this bill. Of course, I was widely criticized for it, but regardless of that, I couldn't do it. And now Mike has gone back. He pressed the pause button for a while. Now he's gone back and redid this. And he's got a bill that, again, he has all the sides on board. He's got the environmental community. He's got the motorized users. He's got the hikers. He's got the snowmobilers, the motorcyclists. Everybody is saying, look, this isn't great, but we're all getting something and we can all live with this. Well, this is the way these things can and should get settled instead of going to court for years and years and years. And in addition to that, just being up in the air. So it is much more modest than what it was. I think the president's talking about a monument that's like three quarters of a million acres. This is about 333,000 of wilderness and some other, and then a lot of area that's in wilderness study area is going to be released. That it's going to come out of study area and go into a general forest. So it was a give and take process, and I really commend Mike Simpson for doing this. I can't take credit for this. The credit for this has got to go to Mike Simpson. He's the one that's done this.
Senator, does it go through the House and to the Senate? And if so, do you...
You know, Mike's going to introduce the bill next week, he tells me. And I told him I would introduce the bill in the Senate. And it's easier for Mike to pass stuff over there because in the House, the rules are such that you can do anything with 50% plus one. In the Senate, you have to have 60 votes. Now, there's only 54 Republicans, so you wind up having to go out and get six Democrats. I'm cautiously optimistic that we can do that. And if the state of play stays the same as it is, I have no doubt that we can pass it. The issue is going to be whether it can be done in the 6 months. I think Mike can get it done fairly quickly in the House. The Senate just moves much more slowly and was intended to move much more slowly and to think things through before they move that quickly. So we'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic that this is going to get done.
Do you expect the president then to sign it?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think the president will sign it. There's groups that are part of the negotiations that have a very good wiring to the White House, and the people that are doing this are really acting in good faith. I mean, I have confidence that when people say they're going to support this, the environmental groups that I worked with on my road list, who didn't want to come to the table, eventually did and eventually reached an agreement. To their credit, they stuck all that rule has been tested all the way through the Ninth Circuit. It was approved by the Ninth Circuit Court in California, which doesn't happen very often.
Right.
And the environmental groups were standing there alongside the loggers, alongside the snowmobile people, the motorcyclists, and everybody else. And everybody stuck together. And as a result of that, that rule was approved. I'm seeing the same thing on Simpson's bill. I think people have finally come to the conclusion that they're and gotten tired of fighting and said, let's settle this where everybody gets something. I think that's where it is.
I'm surprised the president didn't try and declare it when he was here. It shows you that there have been a lot of work behind the scenes. In fact, I speculated that I expected him to do that when he was here to declare it a national monument.
I didn't think he would do that because he has stated, and I don't know if this is public or private or whatever it was, but he did say that he was going to hold off for a bit because Simpson was making some very substantial progress last year, 2014, in the second half of last year. As the year was winding down, he kept getting closer and closer. So I think that the people who were on the environmental side who have a much who have a wire into the White House, which we don't, I think we're saying, you know, let's people can't work this out before we before the president takes action.
Senator, we've kept you over. We're sorry about that. You got a Super Bowl pick?
Well, I'm first of all, yeah, the Green Bay Packers, but they lost to Seattle, of course, and so I should be mad at Seattle for that, but I'm not. I like both Seattle and Green Bay, and so I'm going to go with Green Bay. But I like to see a good game. I just hate seeing blowouts. So if it's a good game, I'll be happy. I hope Seattle pulls it off.
Senator, you have a great day. Take care, sir.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
All right, Senator Risch with us. Do appreciate that. He's going with the Seahawks. 821, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580.
Everyone is talking to Kevin Miller.
Our friend Jeff Manasso joining us with the Super Bowl. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Senator Jim Risch with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Every
morning. Join the conversation with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
827, Super Bowl weekend. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. By the way, phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I have to tell you, being the wimpy guy that I am, I'm not really excited about the Budweiser Lost Dog commercial. I mean, there are enough little dogs and cats that are lost each and every day, you know, to put it in a commercial. And apparently, you know, last year Budweiser did an excellent job with the little doggy and the horse, the Clydesdale, and they had a great time. Now the dog is lost. The dog is lost. And they've been hashtagging and tweeting to try and find it. In fact, GoDaddy, which, you know, if you want to buy a website, I guess GoDaddy is the place to go. If you like Danica Patrick, they did a commercial that apparently was so negatively received that they've pulled their Super Bowl commercial. We're talking millions of dollars just in production. As opposed to, never mind the ads that they cost. But this one I thought was kind of neat. It features Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric. And see if you can relate to what they're talking about here at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. This goes back to 1994. This is for the BMW
i3. Back then at 56 pass, I wasn't prepared to translate that.
That's
that little
right.
Mark with the A and then the ring around it.
At?
See, that's what I said. Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah.
But I've never heard said. I'd always seen the mark.
See, now they're talking about, this is in 1994, info@amfeedback.com. The first time you use at, I can remember somebody said to me, okay, my email address is billy@, and I spelled out the word at. Amazing, 20 years ago, what we thought of things that are just normal today.
There it is, at amfeedback.com. I mean, what is internet anyway? What do you write to it, like mail?
Here's Allison. Can you explain what internet is?
Now they go to 21 years later. They're in a Beamer, a new Beamer, and they're trying to figure out the technology.
See, that's what I said.
What do you mean there's nothing under the hood?
Katie said she thought this was a car.
Yeah.
And it's built using wind, like from a windmill?
Or a fan, or a turbine, or a fan vine.
Wow. I mean, what is i3 anyway?
Allison, can you explain what i3 is?
And then you have the text, big ideas take a little getting used to. Now, I think the folks have kind of jumped the shark here. They've released their ads digitally. Part of watching the Super Bowl was seeing these ads. And, you know, the idea that you'd talk about them on Monday. In fact, all of our cousins in FM radio will be saying, hey, did you see this ad? Oh, that Tom Brady had a good game. How about that? You know, again. But it goes to show you just how things change. Who would have thought 5 or 10 years ago how our phones would become part of our lives? Or, you know, this digital revolution that we continue to live on, rivaling that of the Industrial Revolution, I would say. 8:30, you're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, we have some good news. Congratulations to Darren Bruce of Meridian. His name was drawn as the winner of the trip for two to the Daytona 500. Thank you, Darren. Good luck to you. Go number 24. Big event coming up this weekend, the Super Bowl. With us now to discuss, our friend Michelle Seiler-Tucker of MichelleTuckerInternational.com, the leading authority on buying and selling businesses. Good to have you with us, ma'am.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me back, Kevin.
Hey, how much business is really going on at the Super Bowl? Can you even keep track of it all?
No, and I just wish that that I was on the receiving end of all the commercial money being spent. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
We can only imagine. So, when we're talking about this article that you wrote, Deflategate, who would have thought? Does that derail from the marketing, the business going on, or does it enhance it?
I think, you know, I always say that bad publicity, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So, you know, I think it's just brought a lot more attention to the game, and I don't think it's bad at all. I think it enhances it. I don't think it really takes away from it.
Well, it gives people, I'm with you. It gives people something to talk about that I guess we can all relate to.
Right.
So
absolutely.
When we take a look at everything else going on, not only Deflategate, but the money going on, are you surprised? I guess the city of Phoenix disclosed that they're actually going to lose money on this game.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. I don't know how they're going to possibly lose money. We had the Super Bowl in New Orleans, I want to say, gosh, we had it a few years ago. And then before that, we had it 10 to 12 years ago when I went to that one. And we made so much money in the city, so I'm not really sure how they're going to lose money. I haven't been able to analyze that one yet.
Yeah, crazy. I love your writing here. When you talk about the New England Patriots, their owner is generous. You know, the coach is a curmudgeon, the quarterback, sexiest, richest, most popular man, and his wife's a supermodel. And then you relate to getting the band back together again.
Right. So who's your pick? Who are you rooting for? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm a Patriots guy.
Are you? See, I'm going to go for Seattle.
Well, the entire town is going for the Seahawks, but I'm a contrarian. But I have to tell you, Michelle, I just love the idea, and you that have bought and sold businesses and help others to do so. I admire how the Patriots do it with management. Sometimes some questionable ethics, as you've talked about, but they really get the most out of their investment.
They absolutely do, and you know, they get the most out of their investment. And I think they'd really rather be good or rather they be bad. They've enhanced their brand with this Deflategate because that's all everybody's talking about. People are making Deflategate drinks. People are making Deflategate T-shirts. It's all over the place.
It is indeed. Now, something else you've penned here at MichelleTuckerInternational.com is Money Bowl. When we're talking about ads, what will and won't be appropriate when we watch them on television on Sunday?
Right. I mean, you're always going to have controversy, and you're always going to have some ads at work, and you're going to have halftime show where there's a wardrobe glitch. But that's what that's what people like, right? Everybody likes controversy. Everybody wants to see a train wreck.
Except
I think more people watch the Super Bowl for the commercials rather than the game itself.
They love controversy, but as you detail, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, when controversy goes too far, as in the case of GoDaddy, where they spent a lot of money and they had to pull their ad.
Oh, I know. That's definitely going to affect their bottom line, isn't it?
Right.
That costs them a tremendous amount of money. That's certainly they shouldn't be selling their business anytime soon because they're going to have to recoup that investment.
Indeed. So do you think that the Super Bowl is still viable when we're talking about people advertising? We're hearing a lot of regional ads this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, viable for who? The advertiser or for who?
Yeah, the return on investment from the advertiser. You know, a lot of people, what was that ad, something.com, that spent all their money on the Super Bowl and then went out of business the next month?
Yeah, who was that?
I remember it was a puppet, a puppet guy. I remember it was a puppet. But
I think, you know, it's a huge risk, and they really have to look at the risk versus the reward. And in some cases, it probably pays off big time. In some cases, it doesn't. Obviously, if you're to go out of business, I mean, if that's all you have, you shouldn't be risking everything that you have to run, you know, a 30-second spot or a 15-second spot during a Super Bowl. So you really have to look. I mean, Coca-Cola can afford to do so. Anheuser-Busch can afford to do so. But smaller type companies like this .com company, you know, obviously they can afford to do so. So you really have to look at risk versus reward. You have to look at your bottom line. And at the end of the day, are you really going to get the results? Because it's all about return on investment.
It is indeed. How's the business climate going today, Michelle?
And I think also just one more note. On the Super Bowl commercials, it's more about branding than it necessarily is about call to action and getting a return on investment. You know, many of these companies like Coca-Cola and Anheuser-Busch and some of the other companies, it's about branding. And you're not necessarily going to expect for people to flood your door the next day. And that's what happened to that .com business.
So as we move along here at 580KIDO, how do you think the economy is doing?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, you know. And it depends upon, you know, what time of the year you're talking to somebody. I mean, the oil industry was booming over the last couple of years. Now the oil industry has taken a huge hit. We just closed on a $15 million oil field manufacturing company on Wednesday, and the sellers were actually going back and forth, not sure if they wanted to sell their business because they were in the boom, and everybody was talking about how great the oil industry is doing, and we had so many buyers. Then all of a sudden, prices start plummeting, and they decide all of a sudden we better go ahead and take this check, and we better go ahead and sell our company for $15 million. Now, a lot of these oil companies are shutting down. So it just really depends upon the industry. And then we've got manufacturing, we've got some distribution companies that are doing great and making a tremendous amount of money. So, I mean, at the end of the day, there's still, you know, 30 million businesses in the United States, and 25% will be up for sale at any given time. And many of these businesses are good cash flow businesses, and they have, you know, good proven track record in place. And we have more buyers than we've ever had before, Kevin. We've got thousands and thousands of buyers wanting to buy good cash flow businesses.
Indeed, and of course, if you're looking for that, sell your business for more than it's worth. MichelleTuckerInternational.com. Michelle Seiler Tucker, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
Thank you
for having me on.
We'll have you back. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we go to Liberal Steve at 580KIDO. Well,
I just want to say America has spoken in Idaho. Vote was taken. Is what it is. Suck it up and move on.
Actually, would you like to admit to everyone that you were wrong?
Well, I was wrong.
And apologize for calling them being possessed by the devil?
Hey, it was a heated debate, dude. Do you go back after debates and, sarcasm and slander and blah, blah, blah
to
apologize?
How should we put this? To label possession, one must be possessed, I would say.
No, you think I'm possessed.
You're possessed?
Hey, I say the Patriots by 7.
Oh, boy. I'd rather you take the Seahawks.
And why did you tell that lady that everybody in Idaho is for the Seahawks? I'm not for the Seahawks.
You been to a grocery store lately? Everybody's wearing the Seahawks stuff.
Yeah, big deal. Everybody wears Bronco stuff, too, and I'm for our Vandals up north for everything.
How's that working out for you?
Not very good. Hey, I'm looking forward to the halftime with Katy Perry and the dirty little girl, Missy Elliott. Well, she's not little. She's kind of chunky.
Kinda?
Kinda find ya. Just wanted to say, hey.
Now, Katy Perry's old enough to be your daughter.
So?
You know, can I give you a lecture here?
Hey, just one thing before
nobody wants to hear about curmudgeonly older men oogling over women that are young enough to be their daughter, old enough to be their daughters. I'm sorry. If you were 25, you could get away with saying that. But after 35, women and men don't want to hear about you going, oh, I like Katy Perry.
Well, who was that politician that was in his 90s that had that hot thing? It was just, whew. Nobody said anything about that.
You're no politician.
That's right. You got that right. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, Patriots by 7. And
well, thank you for your unsolicited thing here. I'm going to let you respond to something. You ready? You're always wanting to perform. Let's see if you can entertain us at 580KIDO.
All righty.
This isn't the gay guy casting the gay vote for the gay bill. You need to know that I cast my vote in a thoughtful and deliberative manner.
Hey, he's an honest individual.
Here I thought you were going to be entertaining. All right, Timmy, thank you for the call.
You've
got to go. All right, 849, 29 in star, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, time for traffic now.
There should be no chance for this bill to die in a committee. Please pass this bill, or it too will keep coming back.
We have some momentum building. We have so many supporters across the state, and we will be here until this bill passes. There is no compromise. There is no exception.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
There you have it, the words, people, saying that they're coming back. And a lot of lectures from people on the committee concerning people in Idaho. And we had Representative Crane on. He's saying that there were real-life stories of people being bullied. But on the other hand, the bullying on this issue goes both ways. And quite frankly, when I hear this...
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty. It has no place in our society. I'm calling on people everywhere to get over themselves.
Well, how about the people on Facebook that are making derogatory statements concerning going after conservative activists, going after the committee members? And by the way, and Representative Crane, very diplomatic with us, he's already on a poster on Facebook with the 13 people saying where they breaking down the votes, the 13-4 vote, and people already targeting those folks. Based on what I've seen on Facebook, that is sad. That is tragic. When you know the hypocrisy of the tolerance crowd is simply amazing. Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, you're one of the best things that's ever happened to the state of Idaho. I just appreciate the fact that you're willing to stand right on the front line and go for what is good and go for what is right. You know, I'm so pleased with this vote. I really am. You know, and the fact that the Idaho citizens came out and said, no, this is not a lifestyle that we accept. This is not a decision that we want to be any part of. You know, I'm very proud to be an American today. You know, what truly an American is, and not the redefinition of American by the progressive or the far left. So I just wanted to say thank you. Great job, and I'm sure that there are many, many others out there, you know, echoing the same thing.
Well, what do you make of these comments, though? Terry, you're a smart guy. When the chairman of the committee says this.
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty. It has no place in our society. I'm calling on people everywhere to get over themselves.
Now, I don't know people of faith that have gotten over themselves or have been cruel, have you?
No, I do not. No, I do not. And, you know, this whole controversy is something that I've been have been exposed to years ago, you know, back east and, you know, in other areas. And it's just people, you know, wanting to fulfill their own moral lust and immoral lust, I should say. And they're going to do anything they can to achieve that. And it just is what it is, you know, and I don't think anybody that even lacks common sense, anybody with common sense can understand what's happening here. You know, I'm just so proud. I mean, you know, the warriors stepped forward and said, no, we will not have this, you know, in our home front. You know, and I was so angry. I mean, you know, how would any man respond if another man walks into the bathroom, you know, and decides to drop his drawers, you know, in front of his wife? Like I said, he's going through the exit, the rear wall, the exit that we just made out of him. I mean, you know, where's chivalry come in? Where's it all come in? You know, Kevin, this, it's just lying. It's cheating. It's everything that's wrong, you know, about this whole crowd, you know, crying, threatening people. Oh, come on. I mean, really, get over it. You know, the fact that you would threaten people because they don't agree with your lifestyle, threaten, I mean, think hard. Think real hard about that, you know, your listeners. You know, there's some issues here that are deeper. And it's sad to say, this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Terry, God bless. Thank you for the call.
You have a good weekend.
580KI.
Ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Oh, the wisdom of Tone Loke. Y'all have a great day. Appreciate you listening. Catch me on the web all weekend long. I'll be blogging and getting your comments. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. K-I-D-O.